All right. Amen. So you know that I'm going to start one more thing. You know, here at the Door, it's a little bit different how we do service. We believe that engaging in the Holy Spirit, engaging in God, engaging in Christ is so important. Because that's what you really want to get out of church. It's not coming to hear me speak a message. It's coming here to hear from Him. Coming here to let Him hear from you. Amen. So God bless you guys all. You know, this has been such a great month. We just finished Mother's Day. And there's something about Mother's Day. How everyone had a great Mother's Day. You know, there's something that mothers, when it comes to mothers, about love. It's said that a mother's love is second to God's love. And when you think about it, about how mothers are, there's such a nurturing, there's such protective and tender and compassionate when it comes to love. Amen. So this morning, I want us to engage in this message. How I want you to engage in this message, I want you to take it to heart. And what do I mean by taking it to heart? It means to take something to heart is to listen closely to advice and apply it. So today, I can guarantee you, I'm going to be giving you godly advice. Why do I know that it's true? It's because it's from God's word. Amen? So, I just love it. Luckily, I got some good peripheral vision. I see my wife doing this. I go, oh, Lord, what did I do? But this morning, how many here have been married for more than 10 years? How about 20? All the same hands are going to be going up. 30? There's just only a few left. 40? I don't kid you. Yeah. 50. Amen. I know Pastor John is not 60, though. No, I don't think anyone's going to raise for 60. But isn't that so amazing? And today my message is, what is the source of lasting love? And when you think of a marriage that has gone that, and I'm not talking about marriage today. When you think of marriage that has gone that long, it's probably got to have love in it somewhere, because it cannot be that long and not have that love. And this morning, I just thank God that my wife and I, we've been married for 43 years. And when I think about that, when I think about how amazing, how everyone else here, how amazing that is, I thought of it. That is thousands of mornings waking up and choosing each other. Thousands of mornings. And when I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do the calculation, because 43 is a lot of years. And when you so I times it by, how many days do we have in a year? Thank you, because I've been out of school for so long, I almost forgot how many days are in a year. But when I times it by 365 days, it came out to 15,700 mornings waking up to this beautiful and lovely woman right here. I thank God that God has, because I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my wife. And I know for a fact that all husbands will say the exact same thing, that we just thank God for our wives. Because when you think about it, there's been many seasons that we had seasons of great joy, great love. But I won't lie, there were seasons where there were seasons of struggle. There were moments where love was easy and moments where love was a decision. So, what we need to apply and try is to have a love that lasts. And the question that I want to ask you today, this important question I want us to wrestle with, is how to make love last. I remember, it was about, let's see, about 43 years, I got to do the calculation. 18 years ago, on my 25th anniversary, my good friend told me, Darren, you gotta write a book on how you can make marriage last so long. Because I was in a type of job where divorce was rampant. I was one of the only persons in the work I did that was not divorced. So yes, how is it that you're able to be married for 25 years and now it's gone on for 43 years? And I wish I told him what I know now back then. I should have told him because I thought I just took it as a joke. But I should have told him that there is no book that I can write because the greatest book has already been written about marriage, about love, about life. And that greatest book is the Bible. The Bible has all the instructions that we need, not only about love, but everything that we need to walk this walk before we go on to the next. Amen? So that Bible is so, so, so important. Because we live in a world that is starving for lasting love. I mean, we see it. The movie industry really portrays it how God's word does not portray it. It's not about all about, you know, feelings and emotions are important, but that's not all that is it. Because people search for it in those relationships, in success, in approval, achievements, pleasure. People even seek lasting love in religion. But yet, there are many who feel empty, wounded, exhausted, abandoned, because human love in itself is limited. It's limited. And we can all attest to how that is. It's limited. Because why? Feelings change. Circumstances change. People fail us. But the Bible reveals a love that does not collapse under pressure, does not have limited love. Amen? And why is that? And here's the big idea or the main theme to this message, what I want you to take to heart. Lasting love begins with God. It abides with Christ and is sustained by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The three in one. So I want to just explain to you what this lasting love is. Lasting love is going to the source. And this is my Bible text this morning. It comes from 1 John. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. It's verses 17 to 16. And I'm going to read it slowly because I really want you to take heart to these words. The very first word it says is beloved. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Isn't that plain and simple? If you don't love, you don't know God. Why? Because God is love. God is love. You know, when I first came to this church, this in front of this foyer in the front, we had a big sign that said, God is love. Amen? And if you were fortunate one to get our Dorothy license plate, it says, God is love. Amen? And it goes on to say, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And we thank God that we associate that this morning with communion. Amen. And it says, beloved, there is that word again. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
want to say it one more time.
If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Here it goes again. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So I read it slow too. That word love was written in those scriptures 15 times. So it's just making a point how important the love I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any other love, but the love of God. God calls us his beloved. That's a very strong word, because you remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? And as he was baptizing Jesus and he was coming out of the water, God said, "This is my beloved son." He's using that same word for his son, Jesus Christ, that he uses for us. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So when you hear that word, beloved, what he's calling us, it's a deep love. It's a cherished love. It's a treasured love. And that's what God feels for each and every one of us there. We are deeply loved by him. We are cherished and we are treasured. Don't ever, ever let the world tell you opposite of that. Amen? Because we are all love. If we're not loved by man, the most important thing is we are loved by God. Amen? So this morning, lasting love, as I said earlier, begins with God. Because everyone here wants a love that lasts. Because love often feels strong in the beginning. I remember we was doing a marriage class with the book by Gary Chapman, Five Love Languages. And he was saying that in a marriage, in a relationship, the first 2 years, they call it the honeymoon years. And after that, all H breaks loose. You know, I don't want to use that word, but isn't it so true that in the beginning we find out that love is just so lovey-dovey, but as time goes by, it becomes fragile, a little bit more fragile over time. It can be passionate one moment and distant the next. Amen. So sometimes we have a hard time finding love because, like the song, I remember, well, a lot of you people are kind of a little older. There was a song, I forgot the name of the song, but it goes like this, that we were looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. Amen? So think about it. What we are trying to build, this lasting love, sometimes we're trying to build it on a temporary foundation. And let me explain what that temporary foundation kind of looks like, such as a lot of times we go for the outer appearance of someone, which is the lust of the eyes. Or sometimes we go for the material possessions, which is the pride of life. I remember my daughter when she was young, she used to always love to watch these, I don't want to even praise those things, but how they profess rich is such a great thing, and it almost makes you want to start gaining all these things that they have. But that's all the material possession. That's the pride of life. But in the end, after all that, in the end, you're going to find out there's something missing. You could have all the money in the world, but in the end, you're going to find something missing. When you think about it, we see the news all the time, all these famous people, athletes, stars, they have everything in life. They have millions of beautiful homes, beautiful houses. But a lot of times at the end, what happens? The S word, they commit suicide. You think, all of us here, if we had millions of dollars, I don't think anyone here would commit suicide. Why? Because, why? We know the source. A lot of times people struggle because why? They don't know what the source is. Their source is everything in this world. So what is it? I'm going to repeat it again. God needs to be the primary source. So when God is the primary source, everything else is no longer carrying a weight that it was never meant to carry. Things that are not of God, those weights, what happens is those begin to take us away from the things of God because these other things have become more important. That's why the Bible says for us to lay aside every weight that so easily besets us, or lay aside every weight that kind of begins to draw us away from God. Hold us back. Thank you, Pastor Steve. So 1 John chapter 4 answers that clearly. God is the source of real love. Again, God is the source of real love. We cannot achieve true love on our own. Just remember that. We cannot achieve true love on our own. We receive it from God and God alone. Amen. So when we begin to spend time with God, when we begin to allow his love begin to permeate our souls, his love flows through us to others. Amen. And let me say it again. As we allow God's love to come into us, it'll flow through us and to others. And that's the most powerful testimony we can have. I was just talking with someone just a few days ago about witnessing to our family members. And sometimes we as Christians, we love to just hammer that word into them. We just like to tell them, you know, you guys are going to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, all these things, which is all true. But sometimes that's not how we represent Christ. Christ would have allowed just the love to flow through us. May the life you lead be our greatest testimony. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. And just loving on people, I say, you just love them then. You don't preach, you just love them then. And God's going to work on them. Because sometimes when we preach too much to people, it begins to draw them away. And I think that's the enemy using God's word, God's thing, to draw people away. Why? Because sometimes we're not doing his way that we share him to others properly. Amen. There's other times that you have to do it that way. But anyway, I just want to share that's that one little thing. And look at that. My screen just went blank. Okay, here we go. You know, when you start talking about God's love, when you start talking about all these things, how we need to do it right and to align, thank you, God. That's why I can stay married 43 years, amen. Stay aligned. The enemy hates it. He doesn't like that. But what I was reading in John 4. I talked about God is a source of real love. God proved his love through actions. He never demanded things on us. You know, you love me and I'll love you. He showed his love through actions. And what was that love? We all know that love. John 3:16, he loved the world. He loved us that he gave his son, his only begotten son, his beloved son. He demonstrated his love through Jesus Christ. That that lasting love which showed sacrifice, that allowed forgiveness for us, that allowed that love to just be poured out unto us, and allow that sacrifice to gain access to the Father. Amen. So that's one thing that real love always gives. Remember that. God's love always gives. It never demands. Remember that. It always gives. If there's a love that's demanding, that's not God's love, because God's love always gives. Amen? And another thing, we love because God first loved us. Amen? Just think about that. If God didn't love us, we would have a hard time forgiving, for caring, for enduring these hardships, because He first poured out that love into us. Amen. We are so fortunate. So as the Christian life, we're so fortunate because we have grace. We don't have to earn God's love. Because if we had to earn His love, we would never have it. Because there's nothing that we could do to earn His love. Amen? Because God's love isn't a reward. It's nothing to be earned. It's nothing as you're serving or you're worshiping Him, because His love is to be received and not achieved. Amen? Remember that. It's to be received, not achieved. We're not trying to earn. He doesn't expect us to earn His love. And let me give you an example. I'm going to use this story in a little different way. And we all know the story of the prodigal son. And how, again, God's love is received and not achieved. And in the story of the prodigal son, the father had two sons. He had a younger and the older son. And the younger son decided, you know what, Dad? I want my inheritance. Give me all what you owe me. Give me half of your inheritance. And he went on into the world and blew it all away on wild living. And all of a sudden, a famine is hit. Now he has nothing. He just spent it all away. So what does he do? He then gets a job and feeds pigs. And as he's feeding the pigs, he's looking at the pigs' food and saying, this looks so good. He had everything else before that. But now he's looking at a pig's slop and saying, this food looks so good. And as he begins to come to his senses, he said, you know what? I want to go back to my father. But not as his son, but as a servant. Because he knew that what he did, he didn't deserve to go back as his son. But he said, I'll go back as a servant for my father. So as he's heading back, the father sees him coming from afar. And what does the father do? Because I've known fathers and mothers before, when their children go off and they come back, hey, you left already. Live life on your own, you know. But the father didn't do that. He ran to his son, put his arm around him, and what does he do? He tells the servants, bring my son the best robe, put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. And the great thing, what he wanted to do, which you normally do for your eldest son, he said, let's kill the fattened calf. And let's celebrate, because my son, who was dead, is now alive. My son, who was lost, is found. So think about the father. That's that love that lasts for his younger son. And all these things that the father is giving to the younger son, he didn't deserve any of that. But he received the father's love. And now, listen as the story starts beginning to unfold. Now, the older brother kind of gets weird. Hey, what's going on? And the servant says, oh, your younger brother's back, and your father killed the fattened calf. And now he's getting angry. Like, wait, that was supposed to be for me. He goes to the father and says, Father, I've been slaving for years, And I never disobeyed you. But you didn't even kill me a goat. So you see how the older son is, how I can say it, the older son is feeling that all what he did was entitled. It was an entitlement. He deserved all this. Why? Because, hey, he did what the father did. He was working for the father every day. He was being obedient. He was being obedient. He did nothing wrong. But the father did all this for the younger son. So you can see how God's love is received and not achieved. It's not earned. So the big point to all of this is what the father tells the older son. He says, but son, you was always with me, and everything I have is yours. He said, we had to celebrate because your brother was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and now found. So what the father was saying to the older son is, because you're always with me, he's trying to tell him, you have a deeper reward. What was that deeper reward? The deeper reward was you had continual closeness to God the Father. But the son didn't see it that way. He saw it that, no, I deserve all this grandeur things because all what I did. But just remember that God's love is not achieved, it's not earned. It's received. Amen. Because just as the younger son did not deserve it, you and I don't deserve it either. But because of God's love, we can receive that love. Amen. So lasting love begins when you stop striving to earn what God freely gives to us. Amen. So, which brings us to the next. Lasting love is sustained by abiding in Christ. Amen. So the Gospel of John chapter 15 teaches us that the branches cannot bear fruit unless it is connected to the vine. Amen. And that vine, we know what that vine, that true vine is Jesus Christ. So unless the branches is connected to the vine, it's not going to bear fruit. Love is not sustained by emotions alone. Love is not sustained by all these things by itself. It is sustained by connecting, that connection, that abiding. That's what abiding means. Abiding means connecting, abiding in Christ. And when you read the first 11 verses, I'm not going to read it, of the book of John chapter 15, 11 times, the word abide is used. So that's how important God wants us to get that into our... Anytime things are mentioned again and again, it's really important. So abiding is so important because it's that connection we need for our love to last. Amen. And I thank God it's that abiding in Christ that helped my marriage last 43 years and all those who've gone 50 and beyond. Amen. And lasting love begins when we stay connected with Jesus Christ. Let me read the scripture that I was just talking about, chapter 15, verse 4. It tells us to abide in me and I in you. Just as a branch depends on the vine, love grows when we remain connected to Jesus Christ. Amen. And how we stay connected to all the engaging that we've gone on to this day in service, to prayer, to worship, and now to God's word keeps us connected to Christ. Amen. So, and also, Christ's love, his love gives us strength to endure. And listen to what it says in verse 9. This is John 15, verse 9. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. abide in my love. Amen. Abide in my love. Think about it. His love is what sustains us through the trials and through all the hardships and disappointments that we go on in life. When we abide in his love, it gives us an emotional and a spiritual stability or strength to endure. Amen. Because why? God's love is not temporary. It always remains faithful. It's an agape love. An agape love, that is like the highest form of unconditional. That's love that only God can give. Nobody else can give us that unconditional, selfless, and sacrificial love. There is nothing in this world, nothing can do it but God. And that's what allows us to have love last. Amen. Is that agape love. And what keeps us walking in that love? You think so? It comes, Chase says, what do you think? What keeps us walking in that love? It's just one word. It starts with O. Obedience. I had to give a little hint because even I would have to have a hint. And this is what it says in John 15, verse 10. It says, for if, I hate that word if, because anytime there's that word if, there's something that we have to do. It says, if you keep my commandments, or in other words, if you follow my ways, if you obey me, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amen. This is the most important scripture when it comes to abiding in his love. It's obedience. Obedience. And just like our motto, which is action in living faith in God knows no defeat, it's obedient actions with living faith in God knows no defeat. Because that's how important obedience is. So Jesus Christ describes abiding as remaining connected to him, like how the branches are connected to the vine. Because, again, the branch cannot bear fruit on its own. It has to be connected. And it's the same way for us when it comes to lasting love. It cannot be sustained by human efforts alone. It cannot be sustained by riches. It cannot be sustained by all these things. It can only be sustained when we are connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. The moment we disconnect, what happens? It begins to die. Amen. That's one thing I like, you know, as I'm walking home up to my house, we have a fence, and there's a lot of vines that grow on the fence. And the easiest way that I can kill the vine, I go all the way down to the bottom and look for where it's coming out of the ground. I pull it right there. And slowly, in a couple of days, the vines are all dying on the fence already. Why? Because I have disconnected it from its source. Amen. So that's the same thing like us. Because without him, patience runs out. Without him, forgiveness dries up. Without him, forgiveness is actually very hard. One thing that without forgiveness, selfishness begins to increase. Bitterness begins to grow. And love becomes conditional. Amen. But when we begin to abide in Christ, all these things, great habit, grace grows, mercy deepens, endurance strengthens, and love becomes a lasting love. Amen. So some relationships are dying not because love never existed. Think about that, because I know a lot of friends where they're having a hard time in relationships and marriages, but it's because people are disconnected from the source. Just like how I do killing the vine when I disconnect it from the source, that's how relationships begin to struggle. When you begin to disconnect from the source, families are fractured because pride becomes stronger than humility. Believers are emotionally exhausted because they are trying to love others without first abiding in the vine or abiding in Christ. How can we love if we're not abiding in love? Amen? So you cannot continually pour out what you are not continually receiving. You mean? That's such a good point. In anything like, you cannot continue to pour out what you are not continually receiving. And that works for a lot of other things other than love too. Amen? Because prayer matters. Time in God's word matters. Surrender matters. Amen? Because why? We got to begin to give up the things that draws us away from God. Because when our hearts disconnect from the source, eventually it will grow cold. And let me share an illustration. And we all can understand this illustration because it involves our iPhones or your Android phones. Because you can have the best iPhone, you can have the best Android phone with the strongest battery, but if it's never connected to a charger, eventually the battery drains out. In fact, my phone just died the other day. Why? Because it wasn't connected to a charger. At first, everything appears great on the phone. When you have power, the screen lights up. Your messages, your texts are coming through. You can receive phone calls. All your apps function properly. But slowly, the power begins to weakness. The battery weakens down to 50, 20, 5%. And eventually, the phone is going to shut down. Not because it's defective. You don't have to go out and buy another phone. It died because it was disconnected from the source of power. Many people live spiritually that way when you think about it. They keep serving. They keep working, parenting, preaching, helping others, while privately their soul has been weakened because they were disconnected from the source. Again, because we cannot give what we're not receiving. Amen. So, the one last point that I want to touch on is lasting love is sustained by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important because that is why before Jesus left, he told his disciples, it's important that I leave. Because if I don't, the Holy Spirit won't be able to come. That's how important even Jesus knew to continue to allow his disciples to continue their ministry, their journey without him there. And that for us is the same thing. Love, lasting love is sustained by the Holy Spirit. Because love, it begins with all these emotions and things like that. But lasting love is sustained by the Holy Spirit. Because human strength alone is not enough to maintain patience during hardships. Forgiveness when someone hurts you. Or faithfulness to difficult seasons. The Holy Spirit strengthens us with the character and power that is needed to love well. Amen. And the Holy Spirit helps us produce the spiritual fruit mentioned in Galatians. And what did you know? The first fruit is love. A love that lasts. A love that helps us care deeply for others. Joy that helps us go beyond sadness. Peace that passes all understanding. Patience during conflict. Kindness under stress. The goodness of God. Faithfulness during hardship. Humility instead of pride. And self-control in the midst of anger. Amen. So when those fruit begins to cultivate in us, lasting love begins to grow and flow to us. Amen. And what are the things that I love of the Holy Spirit that helps love to last is the Holy Spirit convicts us. I wouldn't be where I would be now if I, because sometimes, sometimes when the Holy Spirit convicts us, There are times that we don't listen to the conviction that the Holy Spirit is convicting us with. And, you know what I'm talking about. We're all human. You can't say, oh, yeah, Pastor. I follow all the convictions of the Holy Spirit. That's not true. But let me share the scripture. In John 16, 18, how important this conviction is. And I'm not saying that. What we need to do is just have an ear to hear what the Spirit is telling us. Amen. I don't want to talk negative about that we don't hear. We do hear. We just got to be obedient and listen and do what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And this is what he says in John 16, 8. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So again, lasting love is not sustained by feelings alone, because feelings can change with circumstances over time. Lasting love survives because the Holy Spirit continually works within our heart, being conviction that leads to growth, to our healing, and to our restoration. Because conviction is that gentle but powerful way that the Holy Spirit shows us when our attitude or our words or our actions are hurting our relationship with others and our relationship with God. You know, a few weeks ago, I was I don't know what it was. I was talking to something, and I was saying something, but the words I was using wasn't the right words to use. And all of a sudden, the Spirit brought a conviction on me and said, wait, what are you saying? What you're saying, your attitude, the word you're using is not what it would normally be to encourage somebody or what the situation I was in. So I corrected myself. I said, Lord, forgive me. And I told the person, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase what I just said. And I thank God that time I listened to the Holy Spirit saying that what you're saying, the words you're using are not the words that I want you to use for the situation that the other person was in. Amen? So the Holy Spirit conviction is not meant to destroy us, but to connect us and guide us back to love. And I just thank God that the conviction reveals what damages love. And that's what we got to remember. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's true when we say, we use hurtful words in our selfish behaviors, in behaviors that we exemplify that's not godly, in being dishonest or lying or impatient. Impatient is another thing that the Holy Spirit brings a conviction on a lot of times, and unresolved bitterness. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. And before I say this illustration, I'm going to use my wife in it. But last night, before I was going to do this, I had to ask her if it was okay. Because I've used her in messages before, and when she heard, she goes, why'd you say that? I didn't want you to say that. You TMI, you know. But I got her permission. She said, it's okay. So this illustration that I'm using, how the Holy Spirit about conviction, is called the warning light. And everyone here experiences it. In your car, there's warning lights. And on your dashboard, you have gas. My wife never looks at her gas gauge. So every time I go in a car, it's always on empty. So I tell you, you think that the car fills up gas on its own. Because every time I go into the car, it's empty. So the warning light, a lot of times we're not paying attention to it. Or there's other warning lights, engine needs to be fixed, or the tire is low, all these different warning lights that the car, and it's not meant to punish the driver or to make driving any less easy. It's there to prevent running out of gas. It's there to prevent greater damage. Your engine needs fixing. Maybe your oil's low, and your warning light's going on. Hey, you never put oil in your car. We all had situations like that. I see some people smiling, so they've gone through a lot of this. But the Holy Spirit's conviction works the same way when it comes to our relationship. When harmful attitudes or action appear, the Holy Spirit's warning light begins to go on in us. And that red thing is blinking when we're doing things that we should be doing, saying. And when we ignore those warnings, that warning light, it can lead to brokenness. It can lead to arguments. It can lead to all these things that doesn't pertain to lasting love. Amen. So conviction, this is the last one I'm going to talk. Conviction leads to humility. And I can truly attest to this, because this was me early in my young life. I had the hardest time to say, I'm sorry. Oh, that was, you know, for most people, you think, I'm sorry. It's so easy. I'm sorry, you know. But I remember before, I'm doing something and I should say I'm sorry. I don't. And finally, my wife says, well, you should say I'm sorry. So by that time, if your wife says that, it's too late already. You should have said it before she even said it. Because I said, okay, I'm sorry. She goes, it's too late. I said it already. I said, okay. But, you know, that's one thing. But what the Holy Spirit does, it gives us courage. It helps to soften our stony heart, our heart of pride, to begin to say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I have a video. Some of you who are older can relate to this video. Some of the younger people don't even know what I'm playing. But, Sky, if you can play this fast video that I have.
Because you're not going to join the Marines. Just take all this stuff home, okay?
But Fonzie, not join? I'm all packed. You told me it was the right thing to do.
Look, I know what I told you to do, but when I told you to do that, I was wrong. Ralph, I was wrong. I was not exactly right.
What do you mean, not right?
I mean, not right.
I don't get you. You mean you were wrong? Mm.
Yeah, that's right, Malfa. I was what you just said I was just then, yeah.
Wrong? The Fonz wrong?
Malf, look. There is a first time for everything, huh?
There's a first time for everything. How many of us have come across situations like that where we know we need to say something, but it just doesn't want to come out? And that was me before. I couldn't say I was wrong. Forgive me. I'm sorry. But lasting love is possible when people are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let me say that one more time. And forget everything I said about not listening. Lasting love is possible when people are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, repent quickly, forgive freely, and walk daily in God's love. Amen. So as I come to my close, I just want to let you remember again that stay connected to the source. That is the most important stuff. Stay connected, because one truth that holds is this. Lasting love doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with me. But it flows through us. Amen. And we are not the source. God is. So our goal is not to try to love harder. Our goal is to stay connected to the one who is love. Just remember that. Our goal is to stay connected to the one who is love. And when we do, you will find that love that you have been searching for, is the very love that flows through you. That same love. You just got to be connected to the right source. Amen. So, I'm going to give you that, the big idea, or the main point of this message one more time. Remember, lasting love begins with God, it abides with Christ, and sustained by the Holy Spirit. And how I want to end today, is before I have you all stand, I have a poem that reflects my 43 years of marriage to my wife. that pertains to this big idea. Amen. And this is how it goes. Through God the Father, through God the Father's faithful care, we found our love held fast in prayer. Through Christ the Son, whose heart forgives, we learn the way true mercy lives. By the Spirit's gentle flame, our souls were strengthened in his name. So side by side to joy and weather, the Holy Three has bound us together. Amen. Shall we all stand? This morning, I sense that there might be some here or even online that are exhausted from trying to carry life alone. Some may have been looking for love in places that only left deeper wounds, or maybe once walked closely with God but has drifted far away. Or you may know God intellectually, but your heart hasn't really surrendered to Jesus Christ. But hear me clearly today. Hear this clearly. God's love is still reaching for you. The cross wasn't an accident. It was an invitation. Amen. Jesus came for the broken. He came for the weary. He came for the addicted, the ashamed, the proud, for the fearful. He came for a sinner like you and I. You don't have to leave the same way you came in this morning. Today can be the beginning for restoration, for healing, for surrendering, for lasting love to begin in your life. If you're saying, I need God, I need your forgiveness, I need to return to you, I want this lasting love that only the three in one can give, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, then this is your moment. Don't let pride keep you in bondage. Don't let your fear keep you from freedom. Come to the one who loved you before you even loved him. Because lasting love has a name, and that is Jesus Christ. If this is you this morning, I want you to step forward and come to the altar. Let Jesus know that you need him. You need to let him know that you need his forgiveness, or you're just wanting that lasting love that only he can give. Don't let your fears or your shame stop you from taking that first step forward. That first step forward, that little comfort zone that you're standing right now by your chair, to take that step, first step forward. It is the toughest thing in your life that can do. But once you take that first step, the other step becomes easy and you begin to draw towards the altar. Amen. Because you want to know the source of the lasting love. And for those online, if that's you, I want you to just stretch your hands towards your TV screen as I pray. Lord, I want you to release Satan's grip from those who want to come forward but feel his resistance. Because your word says, resist the devil and he will flee. Allow them to come forward and experience who the source of that lasting love is. It is God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Let your love begin to transform their identity in you and not in who the world says they are. Because your love is that agape love, that unconditional love that sees beyond their faults, their failures. Let them know and follow your truths, and it will set them free. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Love you all with the love of the Lord. Have a great day. Those online, until we meet again next week, Ahuyo Kako. God bless.